Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
It is with optimism that I address you today. Though these are challenging times.
This is the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. You're listening to The Instance.
Everyone, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode 615. There you go. It is 615 episodes in. It is Friday, September 18th, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm here with Garrett Weinzierl. Hi, Garrett.
Happy Friday, Scott.
Thanks, man. Trying to be in a good mood. There's a lot of smoke in the air. My throat hurts and just kind of tired of all the freaking chaos outside, and I just like to have that all go away. So today, my effort is to have a good show with you, and I got a bunch of other stuff done this morning. I went out on the porch and huffed on smoke while I worked on some art, and then later, I got a other thing to do, and I'm just going to try to have a good weekend here in 2020 America, okay? That's how it's going to go.
I feel for all of my more Western friends. I'm really bummed that y'all are dealing with so much fire and smoke.
It's kind of gnarly. We have our own fires, but the smoke we're inhaling today is California and Portland fire. So we're happy to help our neighbors to the west and northwest in any way that they need. We sent firefighters their way, some 1,500 of us or something like that. Like, we're all in this together. But man, am I tired of huffing on your smoke. And if you think about it, if we're all just one people on one big continent, it's all our smoke, right? There's no state smoke. It's everybody's smoke. So
it's
breathe it in.
It's a good excuse to stay inside and play World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Stay inside, play World of Warcraft, and listen to this show, which we're going to start right now. All right, we're going to dive right in this week. Lots of WoW stuff to talk about, as you can tell, as we move swiftly towards Shadowlands release. The show is more and more wall-to-wall Warcraft, which is to be expected. This usually is what happens right around this time of year, and we're very excited. Let's talk about WoW Classic first.
There's an expansion coming out.
Yeah, there's an expansion. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. We're all going to be playing it for days on end. We're going to level our dudes. We're going to be a fresh new level 60 at some point because we're squished, and we're going to be going to town on Torghast, and we got new things happening. And if you
this is the first time I've realized that I could have a level 60 in both Classic and Retail.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
That never struck me. It is irrelevant, but it seems funny in my head.
There's something about that is weird. But yeah, it's coming at us fast, too. We're pretty close to the end of October, and I know what I'm doing that weekend. And so as a result, the show is a lot about that stuff. Let's start with a story about Classic. WoW Classic Esports coming back this October, right before things kick off with Shadowlands, with the Fall Conquest, they're calling it, according to Blizzard in a blue post. Quote, the WoW Classic Fall Conquest will take place over 3 weeks from October 3rd to the 18th within the 15v15 Arathi Basin, with $12,000 US in total prize money. Teams in North America and Europe will be battling for their share of each region's $6,000 prize pool. They gave further details. Teams of 15 will sign up for their region. Signups will only be for eligible players with a level 60 character on live servers for WoW Classic. So you want to check your eligibility on the website. It's easy to do. The tournament will be split into two stages for each region, qualifiers and finals. The qualifiers are open to signups. The finals will feature the top six teams in each region, and teams will battle against each other on live servers using the War Game feature, allowing players to queue up battlegrounds against other teams in their region. For the top six in the North American and Europe regions, there will be a total of $6,000 US in separate prizing for each region. More information can be found in the rule sets and all that on the site, so go check it out and sign up now if you are interested. Was there ever a day, or is there a day now, Garrett, where you would go, Oh, man. Classic PvP. That's where my heart is. I'm going to sign up for this and compete.
You would have been in the original vanilla had I actually hit max and been playing. I was really big into WoW PvP back in like BC and Wrath of Lich King days. But as is well documented, I never hit max level in original vanilla, and I still haven't hit max level in vanilla 2.
Mm. Yeah, it's like you're just repeating history there. I'm repeating history too, although I'm way lower than you. But the original release of Warcraft, it seemed like 60 was so many miles away from obtaining it that it took me forever and ever and ever. But when I finally did it, it was great. So yeah, you got to be 60. I'm guessing you got to be fairly, you know, you should have a competitive team, although it doesn't sound like they're being too picky about who can get in to just get going here. But
but I'm sure the teams that perform well are going to be pretty sorted. Very specific classes, very specific gear, you know, that type of stuff.
Wonder how interesting that'll be as a streamed contest. You know what I mean? Like, do I care about classic esports on Twitch or something, or do I, or don't I?
I mean, as someone who's not particularly into like arena, because it is one of the my least modes in World of Warcraft. Like, I think this is pretty cool. I mean, is this mileage, everyone's mileage varies, right? But like, if this was something that had been around back in original vanilla, I would have been really stoked for it.
I was excited on paper about all things Warcraft PvP in the early days, World of Warcraft, but it all disappointed me. And I don't know if this is a hot take or not, and if I've ever said it on the show, but to me, my expectations coming from the RTSs was that the PvP would be something along those lines, right? Like, I would have those kinds of experiences from that long legendary line of Warcraft, Orcs and Humans up through Warcraft 3 and Frozen Throne. And you can't do that with an MMO. My expectations were wrong anyway, because it's just a totally different mechanical experience. And so they were never going to be that. And as a result, I was just never built for it. I just can't do PvP in the way that some people can. And so for me, it was always more fun to watch and hear about than it was to actually play it. And I think I'm still there. I think that's kind of where I land. I'd rather watch it, you know,
fair.
Root for a team or something.
Well,
that's fine.
Well, here you go. You can watch 30 people digitally beat the snot out of each other in a wrathy basin.
Yep. Low polygons, little circles under their bodies like shadows. It'll be great. Looking forward to it.
Depends on the graphic setting of their stream. They might be very nice shadows underneath underneath their body. But anyways, the November issue of PC Gamer magazine features a cover with a CGI jailer. Some have taken this to mean that at the very least, this expansion will feature fully rendered in-house CGI cutscenes featuring, well, the villain we just mentioned. While little is known about the WoW content in the issue itself, perhaps we will learn a little bit more than when the issue hits shelves. Given Blizzard's BFA efforts to tell an extended story with CGI cutscenes, it makes sense that we will be seeing more of that in Shadowlands. And I mean, why wouldn't we be suspicious of a fully rendered version of the jailer? Why would they make that? They wouldn't go through all that effort if they weren't going to do something with it.
No, of course. Like, unless this is PC Gamer, and I haven't read deep enough to find out if they have anything to do with it, but unless this is them doing this or commissioning this or something, I highly doubt it, though. What that looks to me like is an asset that Blizzard, you know, rendered up and sent over to them, said, here, use this. Y'all are going to be doing a big issue. Shadowlands is kind of the chief article in the issue. Here's the jailer in all of his 3D CGI glory. And so I am actually I am all in on this idea that the jailer's a, you know, he's going to be a dude. It's part of a story who's going to get fully rendered out. And
that cover hits me as very old school Blizzard, when their box art used to just be big close ups of over rendered faces.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And also, I don't know, there's something very, I don't know how to put this. Maybe you already said it right. It is something about, it's an old, I'm getting old Diablo vibe off of it, kind of.
Yes. Yeah. Old Diablo, a little bit of Mortal Kombat, you know.
Oh, yeah, like an MK character. That's what we're looking at. This is like Baraka's uncle, who's in charge of Outland now or something dumb like that. You know, Baraka's uncle, the famous...
Baraka's uncle, my favorite hidden MK fighter.
Yeah, he's the best, but... Anyway, it makes me just a little giddy, because I was really hoping that stuff, the Sourfang stuff, worked out for them. Like, they had meetings, you know, after BFA was essentially done and said, all right, so how do we feel about what we did this quote unquote season, this expansion with all this CGI stuff as interstitial story? And I think they were, I hope they were happy with it. I hope it was worth the expense and time, because that is a thing I don't want to see them step away from. I'd like to see more of that. So we'll see. The Jailer,
ready to roll.
All right. Moving on to this. You may have noticed some behind-the-scenes downloading on your Blizzard launcher this week. You may have noticed it. Also, I noticed there's some new tooltips popping up on that thing. So I guess we're getting close to being out of beta. But that's not really what we're talking about. You may have noticed a little green download saying, oh, a little pre-patchy thing's happening. Well, the Shadowlands pre-patch started to make its way onto hard drives across all regions. If you already have the PTR or beta, you have most of the files anyway. So this thing is just going to pull from those and some supplementary stuff that's changed. So it shouldn't be that big of a draw. It's also using low bandwidth, so it's not a huge deal. But you want to let that run because you want to be ready on day one of sort of pre-patch and the event and everything else. Like, that's what's happening right now. I realize I'm explaining to people how pre-patches work, and I don't need to. But just in case there's one or two of you out there that never experienced this in World of Warcraft, that's what's happening. Here's something I learned today, though. You can't uninstall the PTR while this background download is happening because it's pulling from those files. I assume it's the same for the beta. And I have that installed too, but I didn't intend to uninstall. But if you go to try to uninstall those while you're downloading the background download, it will say, sorry, can't do that. Warcraft needs these files for this download we're doing right now.
So that's interesting, because then at least that portion they're pulling from wouldn't technically be a download. It's just like a transfer.
Correct. It's just
because you already have it.
It's a movement from one sector to another of my SSD, or however SSDs that, work. I guess they're not sectors.
That is anymore. Fascinating.
It is fascinating. But some of it's coming down from the internet. Some of it isn't. I don't know what they're doing. That's a good thing I trust Blizzard on this front, or else who knows what's going on my hard drive. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing, but pretty excited to see that little green icon, because, I don't know, it's just one more step, man. And then we got our game, and everyone's happy, and all things are cool until you're not, until everyone's unhappy again. But for right now, we're happy. It's good. We got a game coming. We're stoked. No one's talking about BlizzChung, right? We're done with that for a while now.
They are now, because you brought it back up.
I brought it back up, yeah. But I don't know. There's this feeling.
They also may be talking about him because he is currently actively competing in Hearthstone Esports.
Oh, how's he doing, by the way, in there?
I don't think he's been doing great, but he hasn't been doing bad enough to fall out of Grandmasters. So there's that at least.
Still 1 billion times to the ninth power better than I am. So
yes, yes. He also got picked up by Tempest Storm after that whole debacle. So
right.
He's doing all right.
In my head, Tempest Storm doesn't exist anymore. And the only reason I think that is when they left Heroes, I was so mad at them for leaving Heroes of the Storm that. And it was unreasonable. I know that now. That anger was dumb.
I mean,
everyone
Blizzard left here.
I was going to say, yeah. Blizzard
really
left.
Really hold it against them too bad. Yeah. Can't really hold it against them too bad. Everybody, I can't hold it against bots in Classic, because it turns out WoW Classic apparently has a bot problem, because community manager Kyvax, who we know, posted on the forum saying that Blizzard bans 1,000+ bots a day in WoW Classic alone, while also encouraging players to report bad behavior and play by the rules. Play by the rules! What are you doing?
Yep.
They said in this post, quote, our anti-cheat team focuses on popular botting spots, especially areas that are commonly reported by players. For example, Dire Maul has been one such area for cheaters, so a lot of attention from my colleagues has been put on Dire Maul recently. So folks listening, if it feels like 2006 all over again, you're not alone.
Yeah, dude, it does feel like 06, because that's about the time you heard, well, it's when this show started, but you started hearing about what they were going to have to do about all the cheating, the botting, the gold farming, the everything. And I remember it was about that year I first noticed a character in the game who must have been a bot, but at the time I didn't know what to make of it. Somebody kind of bumbling around being really weird in the world.
I still remember the first, like, the zone I was in the first time I ever saw a bot. I was out in the Badlands, like, by Ulduman, like, doing some, what was that, like, level 30-ish questing, I think, and I was just like, why is this guy running the same circle around this one mesa, just farming herbs and ore veins? What's going on? And then, did some some mid-2000s Googling and found out that that was a popular route for bots.
Yeah, they literally would like, I mean, it wasn't that unusual unless you watched them for a second. And then you would get, you know, it was like a Stephen King movie. It was like, something's wrong with that guy. And you notice that he never stops. It's just this loop.
That boy ain't right.
And if he paused at all, he would pause at a certain point and just stand there and then immediately take off again. And I remember the first time seeing that, just thinking, this is the weirdest thing. I've never seen a player do this. I remember saying something like in the slash say, and I said like, hey, you doing okay there, dude? Or I don't know what I said. And no answer, of course. And it's still a problem. So your vanilla experience, your classic experience, still riddled with bots and cheaters.
When Amazon starts delivering with drones, Scott Johnson will be that weirdo in your neighborhood asking the drone how its day is going.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I am totally going to. You know what? I do that to my Echo all the time. Sometimes I feel bad because I yelled at her because she got something wrong. And I'll actually invoke her and just say, sorry about that. And she'll say, you never have to be sorry, or something dumb.
They say that until Skynet takes over.
Right. Well, that's, you know.
Oh, apparently that just triggered my Siri.
Oh, oops. Oops. They all are listening, Skynet, dude. Y'all. All of them are listening right now. There's no getting around it. So maybe they'll listen to me talk about this. It's a little light story. If you ever wanted to hear the jailer, we were talking about him before. In the chat room, here he is again on this cover of this magazine. If you ever wanted to hear him sing Up There, you may know that famous song made famous by Satan himself on an episode of South Park, where he sort of longs to be a part of the mortal world. Well, now's your chance. S. Justad, I think is how you'd say his name, or E.S. Justad on YouTube, made a great short video. It's worth your time to check it out. I will play But a Taste so that you can enjoy a little bit of this. Let me pull this up here and hit play. Here you go. Look at the sad jailer.
Sometimes I think when I look up real high that there's such a big world up there. I'd like to give it a try.
Okay, it's real dumb, but worth your time, I promise.
God, this is so circa 2005. It's great. I mean, it's just the track from South Park, the movie.
No, they didn't. Yeah, they didn't recreate it. They just do it again. Yeah.
Oh man, it's well lip synced, and yeah. If you were looking for a modern take on like 2006 machinima sensibilities, here you go.
This is it. Also, what I like about it is this is the first real, the most 3D I've spent time with the jailer yet. I don't know what he looks like other than drawings and art, and now that PC Gamer render. This is him. Okay. This is data mined model in the game that they pulled out and then lip synced stuff and animated him. And he's got this cool chest thing with like stars in it, and they're all like washing around. He's just
the first time you're seeing him in game. So now, Scott, when you're playing through Shadowlands, are you gonna you're gonna see the jailer and you're gonna be like, oh hey man, when are you gonna do your musical number? He's just gonna ruin it for you.
I'll just talk to him like I do bots, as if they're real, and live in my little fantasy.
Hey man,
world.
Why are you so angry?
Yeah.
Why are you so angry, Mr. Jailer? Come on, let's have a talk.
What's up, jailer? What's up? It's because he's got that heart full of stars. Nobody's happy about that. All right. That'll do it for all our side quests. Let's get to the main one. All right, the final one is here. The Shadowlands Afterlives animated shorts are complete. And we ended with Revendreth and dropped on Thursday. That was yesterday. We got basically a creepy look at the fourth and final Shadowlands Covenant. The vibe is pretty as expected. Vampiric, dark, little dash of smarmy opulence for good measure, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's narrated by Sire Denarthrius, master of Revendreth. We get a glimpse of this being who demands fealty from his subjects and seems committed to treat them as his lessers. And significantly, and we'll talk about the whole thing here in a second because that's the whole point of us talking about it, but Garrosh Hellscream's hanging out over there. So he's that's where he is, and he's being tortured, I suppose, and treated poorly, although he just looks angry, doesn't look sad or in pain to me, just looks pissed.
I tweeted that Garrosh is now a dairy cow.
Oh, because they're bleeding the stuff out of him, right?
That is his fate.
Yeah.
Garrosh has been reduced to a beast of burden.
Yeah, he's basically, you're not wrong. He's basically there for them to bleed this anima from. And they're doing it with all the souls that are being punished. This is basically, it's Shadowlands hell, right? Isn't that basically their job? Their job is to punish the
wicked. It's the last stop before hell.
Okay.
So, the Maw is hell.
Right.
The Maw is where souls that have no chance for redemption go.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Because all of the zones are kind of there to, like, redeem you. And right. Revendreth is where, like, you are damn near Maw material, but yeah. They're going to give you one last chance to redeem your soul before they, you know, damn you to the Maw for the rest of eternity.
And survive horrific tortures, it seems, is going on in this place. But anyway, it's all run by a bunch of, you know, elfish looking freaking, you know, vampire men. I'm sure.
Yes. This is vampire AF. Yeah. I mean, this whole thing.
It's
just welcome to our beautiful land. We will suck you dry through various types of torture.
Yeah. In fact, I have a clip here. Let me play this real quick here. Enjoy this right here.
It is with optimism that I address you today.
Yeah, so you heard this at the top of the show, too. He's just very, yes, hello.
Yes, I like the way he says, day. Yeah. A bit of breathy gravel at the end.
Yeah, for sure. I also saw what looked like an old troll that was being tortured by a big anima stone thing.
Yeah, that was a creepy looking troll.
Yeah, he's gnarly. But I imagine he's like one of those "how you doing, man" guys that I killed in Stranglethorn 15 years ago.
But clearly deserved it if he's in Revendreth.
Clearly. So they're also experiencing this drought from a story perspective. All of these videos have kind of had a similar take, with the exception, I think, of the first one was less focused on that stuff and more focused on, you know, hey, it's Uther and check it out, it's Arthas and all that. But the rest of them, especially these last two, have been very focused on where's this stuff going? Why is there a drought in the first place? What's happening here? Why is there a change? And the difference here is the leadership here, specifically this Baron, what's his name? I forget his name.
Denathrius.
Denathrius, Sire Denathrius. They seem to be hoarding it. Like him and all the well-to-do bloody elf vampire people are all at a party, like drinking down the anima like it's going out of style. Meanwhile, they're pulling everybody dry. Now, my guess is Garrosh Hellscream has a significant role to play in the story, and it's going to be an interesting one. So, but somebody heard me say that just now and is now annoyed because they don't want Garrosh Hellscream back because they're just sick of Garrosh Hellscream. But I like Gary. And
yeah, I mean, we've already got another one running around. Sylvanas is there. We don't need two Garroshes.
Here's what I want, though. I want Gary Hellscream to break free of this thing and become a problem somehow. I don't want him as in a leadership role or as an ultimate baddie role again or anything like that. But I do think there's some fun story you can have with that dude breaking free and wreaking havoc in Revendreth. And I'll bet they do. We're going to do something with him. You don't have him in this video for nothing, right? That's a big deal. Also, the scribe who's working for Sire Ding Dong there looks like Jonathan Banks, who plays Mike Ehrmantraut on Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. Go watch it again. You won't be able to unsee it. It's weird. Anyway, go check it out. If you haven't seen it, you need to. It's great. Now that we're on the other side of all of these, Garrett, what do you think of this collection of animated shorts? You think they nailed it?
I'm just staring at the scribe, and I'm going to go with, I don't think I agree with you. I think it looks like someone shaved Jafar's head from Aladdin.
Oh, that's not bad. Well, maybe a really skinny Jonathan Banks, like he hasn't eaten in a few days sort of thing.
Maybe. Right. I think you're just fixating on the bald head a little too much.
Maybe.
I mean, I thought all of these were pretty damn fantastic. I was expecting more Kael'thas. Because, like, really early on, I think at last year's BlizzCon, they were like, yeah, you know, Kael'thas will be in Revendreth. Like, they kind of just, like, dropped it and let us know. Mm-hmm. So I kind of expected, like, I thought all of these were going to focus on notable dead souls from Warcraft lore. And this one focuses a little bit on Garrosh, but not that much. Garrosh is just kind of there as world building for Revendreth more than anything else. Like, we know Garrosh was a big bad, so it makes a lot of sense that he would be, like, this battery for them to drain anima out of.
Yeah, he's just raging, dude. So he's just oozing that stuff, you know? It's coming out of every pore.
This focuses way more on Denathrius and like the realm of Revendreth as a whole than it does any one particular like character that we already know.
Yeah.
And they kind of teed it up for that expectation because the first one really focuses on Uther and the second one really focuses on Draka. But then we get to Ardenweald and we get to Revendreth, and they're very much like their own thing that kind of stands on their own insular fiction.
I'm glad you said that because the first one didn't need, you're right. It didn't, you know, Bastion could be Bastion, but it was only significant because of the characters that were there. These other two are kind of unknown to us in a lot of ways, especially the last one, I think, Ardenweald in particular. And, so world building is important there, especially if you're going to draw players to be interested in picking that over another or whatever. Assuming people pick on, you know, based on story and lore anyway. I think a lot of min-maxing is still going to happen, but whatever. My whole take on these things has been, I was a little skeptical at first, I have to admit. I was like, oh, more of these, okay. Motion graphics are cool, and I love the painting work, but I don't know. I'd like more. In the end, I actually think I really like this whole set, and I just wish there were more. I wish we were going to keep going right up until launch.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get a whole expansion of this. So I think you'll get what you want.
Yeah. Maybe a little jailer walking around going, hey, look at me. I'm the jailer.
Yeah.
You can't get out.
I've always really liked Blizzard art. It's no surprise to anyone. But I've really taken a liking to the style of these shorts.
Yeah.
I just like how darn painterly they are.
Yeah. They're very, they really dig into a more high fantasy kind of aesthetic for me. And that is cool. That's my jam big time. And I like to see that in Warcraft. Warcraft, sometimes we think of it as, you know, not goofy looking, but characters that are a little, you know, enlarged and stylized and don't necessarily adhere to realism or whatever. And even though these paintings are still very dynamic and stylized, they have just a dark quality to them that should be the template for any kind of TV show or movie they do in the future.
Yeah. You know,
that kind of tone is totally my jam. So
it's real pretty. I want them to get the whole team together that did Avatar and Korra use this style for the backgrounds and then get them to, you know, do, you know, cleaner anime inspired characters animated on top.
Yes. Is that too much to ask? You didn't ask for that much just now. Of course you would. You would binge that over and over, and I would too. Lizard, you're leaving money on the table. What are you doing? Make this happen. Make it happen.
Being overly protective of their stories for so long that by the time we got one movie, it was a little late.
There you go. Go watch the entire collection, available now on the World of Warcraft YouTube channel or wherever else you can find it. Now this. We're going to do a little rapid fire questions. Right now. Yeah, that's right. Questions you've submitted for me to ask Garrett and for Garrett to ask me. And usually they're pretty dumb, and that's the way we like them. So I'm going to start. By the way, if you want to, you can use my link anytime you want, but I usually post about it on the day of the show. But if you want to go put them in early, I pull from it. It's over at theinstance.net/questions, and you just put them in there. You can tell us your nickname.
If you want to send questions to me, use the hashtag RapidFireScott. They are questions for me to ask Scott, not for me. So stop sending in pop punk questions. I mean, if you just want to talk pop punk, we can talk pop punk. And you can do that too on Twitter. That's fine.
That's right. Yeah. Anything you want, it's up to you. And I have I don't know if I told you this, but I have blocked that hashtag from my view. So I can't tell what people are asking you.
Yeah,
so works
block
pretty
that
well.
Hashtag.
Blocking that hashtag, son.
But not right, you at home. Go. Use it and send me questions for Scott.
Here is your questions. There are six of these as by design, and I'll start with this one. John, on No Server He Mentioned, says, what does anima taste like?
Ooh, anima probably tastes like Sprite out of a can. So it has a little bit of a metal tinge to it, but overall still very refreshing.
Really? You think it tastes okay? All right.
Yeah, I think it's all right, but maybe slight, like in the back of your head, you're like, this might give me a disease if I keep drinking it for 50 years.
That makes sense to me. All right. From Gru the Troll Warrior on Emerald Dream EU, tennis rackets for hands or golf clubs for legs? You can only chew. You can't have both. So it can't be golf clubs and tennis rackets. Has to be.
Oh, I'm going to go with golf clubs for legs. If for no other reason than I just use my hands more than my legs. That's it. I've got no other backup for that. That's my gut reaction. Golf clubs for legs. Go.
Very nice. Shoujo Beaton from Earthen Ring and also in our chat room today. She says this. Who are you sitting next to at the Horde Council table?
Who am I sitting next to?
Yeah. If you're in there and you're like, oh, let's see, I want to sit next to blank. Who is it?
God, it would have been Sylvanas, but she's gone now. So,
yep.
I don't know. I think I would sit next to Gallywix just so I could talk shit to him the whole time. Because I hate that guy. I'd just be like, you know, you're like the worst leader ever, right? Like your people are suffering and you're just the worst.
Yeah. I think I agree. Although I'm going to give and say the correct answer is Bane Bloodhoof because I think he smells earthy and it's probably kind of nice. Just a nice earthy tone, you know.
Bane,
I mean?
I'd want to go get a drink with Gallywix. I would like to just put him in a bad mood and tilt him before the meeting.
Tilt him before the meeting. That is actually correct. All right, next question. Here, this is from Kuroto on Silvermoon. If you could choose one old zone to get revamped with modern graphics, meaning like, you know, modern engines, modern tech, yep, ray tracing, all that, which would it be? It can't be Grizzly Hills, he says. That's too obvious.
I don't have the same hang-up with Grizzly Hills that everyone else does. I like it. It's a good zone. Not my favorite. Had Teldrassil not been burned, I would have said Teldrassil or just like the whole Night Elf starting area. I would love to see redone in all its beauty. But since it's now burnt, I'll go with the next best thing, Dark Shore. That is an old and busted looking zone that I, for some reason, always find myself in, and I would like it to look prettier.
I'm with you. I think that would look nice. Also, the tree would look nice in its heyday.
Yeah.
Just being able to create all that without all that edges and bumps and, you know, the stuff
it's we have. It's basically an oversized stump.
Yeah, it kind of is. Next up, Robert from Earthen Ring, our server. He says, if you could cast one WoW spell in real life, what would it be? It could either be one time only or as many times as you need it to be.
Teleport.
Teleport. Interesting. So just jump. Blink, are you talking about? What are we talking
Blink.
About?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know what? Actually, opening portals would be pretty sick. Although,
it is a spell.
I mean, if we're getting technical, portals are individual spells, so I have to choose a location.
Right.
So I would do portal colon Southern California just so I could go to the place I visit the most often in a much more convenient fashion.
Gotcha. Straight to Anaheim. That's a good idea. Oh, I'd love that too.
If I couldn't do that, Blink.
All right. Blink's cool. I would also do Blink, I think. Blink would be great during COVID times because we could just quickly get to social distance from with somebody.
Shoo, shoo, shoo.
Some guy's like, hey, water, blah, blah, blah. And you go, whoa, easy, buddy. Blip. And I'm that all the way back there.
I'm out of here. See you. Bye.
Here's one from Kittigree on Chamber of Aspects. Says this, Arthas has opened a bakery in the Maw. What does he sell in his bakery?
Well, the Maw is hell, so I feel like he would be forced to bake bread for eternity from the poison grain he found at Strathol.
Oh, that's pretty good. The poison grain, of course. Poison grain bread. And no one's buying that. It's a sad bakery.
Nope, and it's all he has to eat.
I love that.
Just constantly infecting himself, and then, you know, the jailer shows up like Satan afterwards, and is like, all right, you're not a zombie anymore, but here you go again. Roll your boulder back up the hill.
I think you kind of nailed it. There is a bonus question in here for me that I just wanted to answer real quick. Ultra Mech Jeff said, Mad Max or Fury Road, and how many times had you seen Mad Max Fury Road before you learned it was dubbed? I knew it was dubbed from day one. That was never a mystery to me. That's what you do with big action movies with giant loud engines and outdoor shooting. You dub dialogue, always. That's just movies. Anyway, that's your questions. Now Garrett's got some for me. Garrett?
I do. At Domino Defiant wants to know, Garroshkel, Dan, Sylvanas, and Deathwing form a band. What is their name and who plays what?
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's do the who plays what first. Garrosh on bass.
Mm-hmm.
And he sings.
That tracks.
He sings too.
Oh, so he's doing like a Geddy Lee thing. Okay.
Yeah. Which is rare. I know. Hoppus. It's usually like a guitarist or somebody, but we're going to give the bassist the mic here. So, drums, Sylvanas, Deathwing, double neck guitar.
Okay.
Who else was in that list?
Gul'dan.
Gul'dan. Oh, geez.
So is Gul'dan a keyboard player, or is this a two-guitar outfit?
No, we got him on a guitar. No, a keytar. No, we'll put, you know what? Keyboards, and it's like a little surroundy deal, so he's got multiple keyboards around him. But it's lots of sticks with, like, skulls hanging off of it, and everything's green as shit.
And yet, when he plays, it sounds very much like the music that's underneath our voice right now.
Yeah. And you go back, hey, do you have, how many of your keyboards did you bring on tour? Everything, he'd say. Now, what do I call him? Let's call him the... I don't know. I don't have a good name.
I would call them the Fantabulous Shitbags.
All right. The Fantabulous Shitbags. Done. Thank you for helping me answer this rapid-fire question. I'll give myself a buzz. All right, next question.
Jason Richard wants to know, of all co-hosts, former and current, who would win a real-life battle royale?
Oh, wow. Like a fight or a shooting? Shooting or like just a fist of
cuffs? It just says real-life battle royale. I mean, my brain goes to PUBG, but...
Yeah, if I'm thinking like a PUBG-style thing, I'm giving it to... Can't give it to myself. Got to give it to co-hosts. So, on this show...
That's the assumption.
I mean, if it's Overwatch, I'm giving it to Patrick. He's better than all of us. So that kind of shooting? Yeah, shooting in general, I'll give it to Patrick. If it's fisticuffs, like hand-to-hand, I think you would be the guy. Because I'll bet you cornered, Garrett is scary as shit. Like, if you get him in a corner, and he's mad, and there's no way out... And he knows he has to fight. He goes like full Wolverine and just loses it. I'll bet you money. I could be wrong.
No one has ever said this about me.
I don't know
not
why.
Once.
I don't know why I have that in my head. But you know, you're a pretty nice, docile dude in general. But I think if you got cornered, trouble's coming out. So you'd win.
I'll just pretend you're endangering one of my chihuahuas, and then I will murder you where you stand.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Critty Gree asks, which fast food mascot are you sending to Revendreth?
Oh, man.
They have died. They are one step away from hell itself in terms of how terrible of a person this food mascot was.
Probably the Burger King. He edges it out because McDonald's has like the charities and stuff. So you got to give him props for that. The Ronald McDonald House and all that. So the king, the creepy freaking king who doesn't do anything but just stand there looking weird. He's going.
He does bring you burgers, whereas the Hamburglar takes your burgers. But you know what? Fair. He does look like a criminal.
He's got flame broiled anima ready to be juiced.
I don't think the king would play in a post the purge world.
No.
Because that mask looks like a purge mask.
Yeah, it does. He's horrible. Yeah. I don't like him.
Just nightmare fuel, fuel.
Don't like it.
Phil Fisk wants to know, how much McGurgle would King McGurgle McGurgle if King McGurgle could McGurgle McGurgle?
All the McGurgle.
That is correct. That is correct.
There's no McGurgle left after
him. Cam, a.k.a. At The Real Pugsler, wants to know, if you can bring one thing back that was taken out of the game, what would it be?
Oh, geez, that's a great question. Well, the easy answer is a faster way to flying at the end of the leveling process, but I won't go with that. That seems cheap.
You get it wrong for pandering to the question asker.
Oh, I got it. Collectible cards that get scratched off and there are codes. I missed that. That was a cool thing.
I missed it too.
Yeah. I don't know how they would do it now without an actual game, but if they had a game, if they even just had some kind of collectibles that went out and you bought them and you look at the bottom of your pop toy and there's a code, and I don't know how you do it, but...
Scott still wants Blizmeebos.
That's right. Confirmed. Blizmeebos. You heard it here first. They're coming.
Your answer is something that there never was. Final question. At Squinty Eyes asks, rank Garrett's hair from Garrett's hairstyles from best to worst.
Oh. Well, I like the one you got right now. For those at home, it's a kind of platinum blonde kind of dye thing, which is cool. You had kind of a pompadour with a purple stripe in it once, and it always reminded me of who's the Dracula lady that would host like weird movies on Saturdays?
Elvira?
Elvira. It was kind of not Elvira. Who am I thinking of? like Bride of Frankenstein, kind of like hair with like the up the side.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Yeah. So I'm going to call that one worst, even though we're talking about the scale of your hair. If I'm compared it to other people, you've always had good hair. I'm just saying on the scale, on your scale down here, okay. That up here, what you got right now is actually my favorite. I really like it.
All right. So bleach blonde, blue, it was a blue streak. And then, I've also had, and since I've known you, I also had like the shaggy hair down past my ears. Where does that rank?
Let's put that. I'll put it in the middle. It was all right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you like current me the best.
Yeah. Current you that is the best.
Shaggy me second best.
Sure.
And color stripe worst.
Bride of Frankenstein last.
Cool. Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. I dig it.
Is that all of them? Sorry, I don't know if you've done
that's all. Okay, that was the final question.
That's
it. Yes.
That's all your questions,
everybody. Very
self-serving.
I just want to hear you talk about my hair.
I hope you enjoyed it. We like doing these. You should submit them during the week. Watch for our tweets. The Instant on Twitter. No, Instant Show on Twitter. There you go. And the truth is, I'd probably take it if you sent them in an email or something. So do whatever you want to do. All right. Now this.
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
All right. We have at least one. This is going to come to us in the form of a voicemail. They sent it as an attachment to theinstance@gmail.com. It's about playing Horde for the first time in the new expansion and what we think they should do. So here's the call. Check it out.
Hey, guys. This is Nimertz from the Nomergon server. I've been a longtime Alliance player since vanilla and haven't really ever played around a Horde. Since BFA's been wrapping up, I've had some extra time and thought I'd unlock the Zandalari trolls. Been really excited to check out the Dino Druids. So as I've been doing that, I've been wondering, what would be the best expansion to level them up in the new leveling experience? Since I've never really played Horde, what's the most interesting or fun story that I should check out from the Horde point of view? Thanks for any thoughts.
All right, Garrett, what do you like the best? I mean, a lot of it's shared, so...
Yeah, I mean, if you're just getting started out, the whole undead situation is rad.
The undead situation is rad. I agree.
Yeah, that whole leveling experience is really cool.
Yep.
Even though I guess it's still a lot of Sylvanas and Garrosh interacting, which seems pretty old by today's standards, but that whole thing, like resurrecting from the crypt, getting to Undercity, and then working your way down through like the whole war with Gilneas is awesome.
Yeah, it is very cool. And you can go do that stuff as the Zandalari. Well, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take that Zandalari troll. I think it depends on how the new... I don't know how the new thing works. I don't know what that zone is in the leveling scheme. But at some point, you can do it, I think, even if you're not an undead. So you're not going to rise from a crypt, but you can go do all the stuff and clear out that
yeah,
zone.
I've quested it alongside like newbie undeads with a non-undead and been fine. I think I did it with an orc one time.
That stuff's really cool. Silver Pine Forest, all that stuff. I have very fond memories of all of that. Even in the early days and the change after Cataclysm, I liked all the new stuff. It was great.
Yeah.
Some cool Sylvanas stuff happens there.
Like if you're doing the new leveling thing and you just like want to pick a whole expansion.
Yeah, right? I'm saying Mists of Pandaria, personally. But that's, yeah, you know that's, what, though? This is the problem, though. Mists is for everybody, right?
Yeah, Mists is just great because of Mists, not because of a faction-specific angle.
Yeah.
And so I would say if you hadn't already done BFA, honestly, I think the Horde-specific stuff in BFA is just spectacular.
Yeah, I liked it. I did it
and
four
it would,
times.
And it would really fit with leveling a Zandalari troll, so.
Right. I'm just trying to think what else would be there to do, like... This is the problem with WoW. There's not a lot of... BFA is the most faction-specific the game's ever been.
Yeah.
Like for good or for ill, or whatever you think of BFA.
It gets a lot of crap, but I think the leveling in BFA is some of the best in the history of the entire game.
Right. And it's also structurally the game where they most separated you and said, you're over here, you're over here, and yes, you'll be able to cross over at some point, but that's going to be a while, and it's also, you know, it's part of the story as to why you're not over there yet and everything else. And then you start, you know.
And even when you do cross over, it's unique to your faction. You don't,
right.
You just don't go hang out in the same cities and, you know, you don't the same flight paths as the other faction.
Yeah.
You're in your own unique city, kind of sequestered from the main drag.
I think in a lot of ways, the game deserves that expansion deserves a ton of credit for that and trying to make that work. This new expansion, we're going back to a more traditional track for people. And it's the covenants that make you different toward the end. So yeah, it's hard to say because most other expansions do what Shadowlands is going to do, which is kind of put you on the same path. I remember, what was it? Lich King, I guess. How you got to Northrend depended on your faction. Like, you, how you got there and got started and where you chose to get started was very faction specific. Actually, you know what? Now that I say it, I think I'm going to say Wrath of the Lich King. If you can start and end in an expansion, I think that's the one you do. That's my call. That's what I'd say. Because there's enough factional stuff that's different and weird. If you're going to take a Horde character there, there's some very different things to do, and how you get there is different. The way the story unfolds is different. I'm going to say Lich King.
You can see the kind of the start of the rise of Garrosh out in Borean Tundra, I believe.
Yeah, that's true.
He's didn't, kind of put in charge of the encampment out there.
He didn't. He looked very different then.
He looked very generic orc.
Yeah, he totally did. He totally did. But hey, enough anima and you'll look cool too. All right. Thanks for your email / voicemail. And you can send those too if you want. Do a little voice memo on your phone. Email it to theinstance@gmail.com. We'd love to take it and play it on the show. Regular emails also encouraged. That is, again, theinstance@gmail.com. Don't forget, this show is supported by you, the listener. Become an Instance Plus member at theinstance.net. For very little, you can become really cool in your life. No, not really, but you can get cool stuff. That's the important thing. I'm mailing out this month. What did I make this month? Oh, I made like a Yogg-Saron tentacle monster for the art this month, and it looks real cool. And Garrett made this amazing art on the other side for the card back. They're collectible. They're only made once, so you want to catch them all, and you can get that and many other things over there at theinstance.net, and we encourage you to do that. Big thanks to everybody who already does. All right, Garrett, before we go, I mentioned a little Hearthstone earlier. Anything going on in the A-Move world, specifically Hearthstone stuff? Angry Chicken, anything you want to mention?
Oh, yeah. We just put out a brand new episode of the Angry Chicken on Wednesday. We're talking about the new Book of Heroes, single-player mode where we get to go through the lore of Jaina, like from very, very humble beginnings all the way up through kind of where we know and love now. Also Battlegrounds has been a big upset over there since the last patch in terms of the best heroes to be playing. So if that all sounds interesting to you, check out the Angry Chicken wherever you can find your podcast, and check out all of the other podcasts that I produce over at amu.tv, including WoW Killer, where we just put out our Revendreth episode.
Oh yeah, that's great. I'm gonna have to hear that because I really liked your take on the last one. So check that out and do it today. A big reminder that you want to find anything else you want to find out about us that we didn't say here. Well, gosh dang, I got good news. You can just find it all at theinstance.net. You can find more shows at frogpants.com and contact us. Find us on Twitter, Garrett Art for Garrett. I'm at Scott Johnson. Patrick, who we're trying to work in the time zones to make this all happen, is still at, not Patrick. You can find him there. We'll try to get him on the next one if we can. And what else? I think that's everything. That's going to do it. Thank you all for listening and being here. We'll be back next week with another episode of The Instance. We'll see you then.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.